If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome back, everyone, to the channel. Tonight's first story is about a man in the state of Utah who takes a little stroll on a nearby trail behind his house in the woods just to clear his head. And what he discovers inside those woods have forever traumatized him. Also tonight, I have my good buddy Entropic Society joining us around the campfire to tell a story. But first, if you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now let's get spooky. Hello everyone. My name is Luke, and I'm posting this to hopefully get some help, or at least some knowledge about what's happening, or how I should deal with this nightmare. It all began a few days ago, when I was taking a stroll behind the woods behind my house. No, I don't live in the middle of nowhere like a Neanderthal, but in a small, quiet neighborhood just outside the big city. The woods are always pretty safe, as the area I live in has more insects than mammals. I don't usually take these strolls as forests creep me out ever since I was little, but sometimes I need to clear my head. This was one of those days. After having the most boring and tiring night shift, I slept until early noon, and I only woke up because my phone made a ping noise, letting me know I had a notification. Having an unfair fight with my eyelids, I barely managed to open them enough to read the text. It was from my girlfriend. The text, more like a whole paragraph, basically said she needed some time to herself, and that we should take a break. Of course, she added the classic, "It's not you, it's me." I knew what this meant. Most likely a breakup. I text her back, supporting her even though my heart ached as a heavy flow of memories of us hit me like a truck. I got out of bed, my mood killing the need for sleep, and ate some leftovers from yesterday. I was trying to keep myself occupied as to not think about the only person in the world that kept me sane, now breaking up with me. I remembered the woods behind my house and the trail that led into the forest. Against my better judgment, I decided to take a stroll through the woods to clear my head and let nature calm me down. I put on a pair of black jeans, a white t-shirt, a black zip-up hoodie, and my beat-up Air Force Ones before leaving the house and heading towards the trail. I started down the trail. I was pretty familiar with the forest, as I've taken a few more walks beforehand, so I wasn't worried about getting lost. The weather was clear, as the bright, yellow bulb shined its blinding light through the sea-like sky. It was unusually hot for autumn. Leaves were starting to fall. Seeing them in their different decaying stages, some green, freshly fallen, others yellow or brown, forming the colorful crunching carpet that I was walking on. Adding to this, the fresh air and slight breeze hitting my skin was refreshing. The birds were chirping while sitting on different branches. I even saw a squirrel climb into their winter shelter. I checked my watch. 2 p.m. I was getting pretty close to the point of the trail I usually stopped at before turning around to get back to my house. But this time, I decided to go in further. "I'll walk until 3 p.m., then I'll turn back," is what I said to myself, not knowing that this single decision would change my life forever. I walked about 15 more minutes before I noticed something strange. The silence. What I mean by that isn't the peacefulness of the forest with its occasional sounds. No, I mean complete and utter silence. There were no birds, no leaves hushing around in the gust of the gentle wind. Nothing. I stopped dead in my tracks, a cold chill running down my spine. A sudden, uncontrollable panic settled in as I looked around rapidly. My eyes were rapidly dancing on my surroundings before they landed onto something. Something that didn't make the situation any better. In the middle of the trees, around 15 feet or so from the trail, were stairs. Yes, what looked like a flight of stairs taken out of the office building were sitting ridiculously in front of me in the middle of the forest. About 10 concrete stairs, along with a steel guardrail, looking brand new as if they'd just been copy-pasted there, went up to nothing at the top of the stairs was nothing. I checked my watch to look at the time, but instead of the blue digital numbers, there were lines and dots, as if the watch broke out of nowhere. "Damn it," I said, my panicky state getting worse. I had to calm down. I had to think rationally, so I did the only thing reasonable at the time. I closed my eyes, took a deep breath, hoping that when I'd open them again, everything would be back to normal. I was now the moron in every horror movie. I should have turned 180 degrees and bolted down the way I came. After some seconds went by, I opened my eyes again, calmer and full of hope. But as soon as my vision came back, the flight of stairs did as well. "Well, that's not making this better," I mumbled to myself. My mind instinctively rushed to try to make sense of why they were there. An old house, maybe? But it couldn't be. The stairs looked brand new, and the ground around them looked normal, undisturbed. Trying to make sense of the situation didn't help at all, and the sun was beginning to go the other way, signaling that the day was going to be out after an hour or so. Before I spun around to leave, something about them made me want to get closer, to analyze. I didn't know how to describe the feeling. Something within me just wanted to get closer. I could not resist. As soon as I went next to them, everything felt weird. The air felt heavier. The silence got morbidly worse. I couldn't even hear my own pulse. My panicky state suddenly went away, an unusual calmness overcoming it. I analyzed them like a crazy architect, looking behind them, at their corners. Every bit of surface they had was looked over. If anyone were to be on the trail at that moment, they would have thought I was insane. Then, out of nowhere, I made the worst decision of my life. I climbed them. As soon as I got to the top, everything went dark. Like the sun exploded and the world transformed into an internal void. I woke up hours later because when I opened my eyes, the sun was almost set, the moon slowly appearing over the horizon. I was sweaty, sitting on the cold forest floor. The stairs, nowhere to be found. I looked around, confused. "Did I dream it all?" the voice in my head asked me. It couldn't have been a dream. It seemed too real, and why would I decide to take a nap just off the trail? Nothing made sense. Nothing would make sense anymore. I got up, dusted myself off, and slowly began to walk back towards my house. I got back to the town. It was colder now. It was night. The lights on the street lamps were shining a bright mustard yellow light, illuminating the sidewalk and a little bit of street as well. The night sky was just as clear as during the day. It was littered with tiny sparkly stars, though, making it look like a beautifully painted canvas. I got back to my house and strangely, the lights were on. Huh? I muttered to myself, a little confused. I was just about to put the keys into the lock before I saw the handle being pressed. I snapped back and hid behind one of the garden bushes so I wouldn't be seen. Who, I mean, what came out of the house was impossible. It was me. I was walking out of my house, but I was already outside. My head started to hurt.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
My mind was spinning. It didn't make any sense. How could there be another me? It couldn't have been possible, but there I was, walking out with a smile on my face, heading for my car after I locked the door. I got a glimpse of my face. It looked the same as mine, but there was something off. I couldn't pinpoint what, but something was definitely off about it. My second self got into the car and left. As soon as my second self left, I went into my house with no hesitation. It was still the same as I left it, but the atmosphere felt wrong. I looked around, checking if any furniture was moved, if anything was missing, but everything was in its place. I even checked if the fire hook next to the fireplace was missing. It wasn't. Then I looked at the photos of myself and everything started to spin again. I picked up one of the small wooden frames to take a closer look. It was me, smiling next to my dog who died 7 years ago. The dog was fine, but my smile, it seemed fake. It looked fake. To anyone else, the difference would be impossible to spot, but to me, it was clear as day. I don't know for how long I looked at the photo before I heard the keys clicking in the door. Me, the thing, was back. I put the framed photograph back and went to hide. As soon as it walked into the house, the air got heavier again, like it did when I woke up next to the stairs. The footsteps stopped suddenly. The tension was crushing me. I closed my eyes, repeated in my head that this couldn't be real. Then I heard it speak.
Come out, Luke. I know you're here.
I opened my eyes, frozen in place, my heart pounding out of my chest. How did it know I'm here? Did it see me? No, it didn't. I was hidden from the windows and the door. Then it clicked. I left the door unlocked after my double locked it. Shoot, I'm stupid, I said to myself. It spoke again.
Are you going to make this easy, or are you going to make me come get you?
It said with a cold chuckle. I couldn't run. It would spot me and God knew what I was dealing with. So I did the only thing I could have in the situation. I slowly forced my body up to face it.
There you are,
it said with a creepy smile spreading across its face. I couldn't say anything. How could I? Myself was talking to me, eye to eye. My own world was crumbling upon me.
I know this is weird to you, but you did it yourself, Luke. All because you're a curious moron,
it said, its smile now fading away.
How?
I finally managed to mutter. Out of all the words I could have said, I settled on how. Great.
Are you serious? You don't remember climbing those stairs?
Keeping an eye on me. So I wasn't dreaming, I thought. Feeling the blood flow through me, I couldn't move. Barely managed to stay on my feet. I felt dizzy.
Now, your past, present, and future is mine, the double me said, starting to laugh. And I'll make sure you won't mess anything up. It continued, and before I knew it, I was getting tackled. The thing was on top of me, pinning me to the ground. Its hands, now transformed from normal human hands to sharp, hairy claws. Its eyes went from looking like an emerald green color to a crazed red. Like the creature hadn't slept in days. Its nose now looked more like it belonged to a dog or deer. Its body began to twitch unnaturally. All the while, worms were crawling out of its hair. Some even got on my face, making me yelp instinctively. I also found out why the air was so heavy around it. The stench oozing from its body almost made me throw up. It smelt like rotten corpses, like death. Before I knew it, what I could only suggest were my primal instincts kicked in, fueled by adrenaline and panic. I grabbed the creature by the neck. It laughed.
"You think you could choke me, Luke? You're dead."
It grinned, its teeth now yellow with two sharp fangs at the edges of its mouth. My hands came down, trying to punch the thing away, but I couldn't reach it. It started choking me. I looked around for a smudget of hope, knowing my life was about to end. I saw we were close to the fireplace, and I also saw the firehook. It looked reachable. The thing was too busy trying to kill me to see I was trying to get my only hope. I was about to give up before my fingers touched it. I was feeling the claws starting to get under my skin as the thing started to choke me harder. I finally fully gripped the hook, hitting it with all the power I had left straight into the head. The creature shrieked as it stumbled back. In my rush of adrenaline, I got up, taking deep breaths as I felt blood dripping from my neck while air flowed through my body again. As fast as the thing stumbled back, it charged again, but this time it didn't manage to get me, as I pointed the sharp end of the hook at it, impaling it in its arm. The creature fell to the ground, dropping my car keys from its pocket. I saw them and made a run for it. I took the keys and rushed out of my house. I shakingly but quickly unlocked my car. I got in, started the car, and backed out of the driveway. Then I floored it down the road behind me. I heard something grab the trunk just before I managed to get away. It was the creature. But it did not manage to fully grab it, so the thing lost its grip. I got away. I kept driving and didn't stop until I was out of town. I'm now stopped at a hotel, but I'm planning to get on the road again. I don't know what to do. I'm still shaken and terrified for my life, for my existence. I tried calling my friends, my family, but all of them thought I was joking. Even tried 911, but they didn't believe me either. They said that prank calling the emergency line is a finable offense, and to not do it again. Nobody believes me. That's another reason why I came here. To hopefully find someone that understands what is happening, and maybe help me. If no one has experienced this, all I could tell you, no matter how much, how tempted you are, never approach stairs you see in the middle of the woods, or anywhere they aren't supposed to be.
If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is a difficult story for me to tell you, but I think it's important for you to be informed. There is something in the mountains in Montana. I don't know what it is, but I know it's deadly. My story starts back in the early 80s. My father had recently lost his job. My father then moved our family out to Montana in hopes for a new beginning. The land price was incredibly cheap, which allowed my father to buy a couple hundred acres of land. The land that he purchased seemed untouched, as if we were the only humans to ever see this part of land. My family, initially, did not have enough money to build a house, so we stayed in a trailer on the property. The conditions weren't terrible, except it was difficult for me and my family, considering my older brother, Brian, had special needs. Brian had a hard time speaking, which made it very difficult to understand what he needed. He would also sleepwalk every night. His sleepwalking was very bad. There were times that we'd often find him the next morning, a couple of miles away. Over the years, my family has concluded the best way to keep track of Brian was to make sure that he wore an anklet to bed that had bells on it, and to keep all the doors and windows locked. Now you can kind of understand the difficulty of staying in a trailer with someone with this condition. Needless to say, my family was pretty anxious to start building a house on the property. Brian, for the most part, was a great brother. He was completely harmless and loved to laugh. He loved animals, especially the wildlife, and he'd get very excited when he saw an animal outside. Things seemed to change when we moved to Montana. It seemed that Brian no longer wanted to go outside, and he definitely didn't want to go near the woods. During the day, Brian seemed to be fine for the most part, but at night, he seemed to get very agitated and would point off into the woods, saying something that we couldn't understand. We would check with the flashlight, and of course, never saw anything, but Brian would still feel disturbed. The woods didn't really bother me. I knew for the most part what kind of animals were out there, so I wasn't too scared. However, on some nights, I did feel this weird feeling of something dreadful out in the woods, just barely out of my vision. Whenever Brian was having one of his episodes is when I felt that dreadful feeling coming from the woods. It was almost as if Brian could sense it too. Things were like this for a couple of weeks, but everything changed one day when I took Brian out into the woods to go hiking. Brian and I had been cooped up inside that trailer for some time. Brian and I had hiked a solid hour into the woods. The land was quite beautiful. During the first part of our hike, it was as if I had the old Brian back. He didn't seem to be spooked about the woods at all. During our hike, we found a couple streams and rivers, and Brian was able to see a couple deer. Instead of going back, we decided to keep going deeper and deeper into the woods. This was a huge mistake. The deeper we went, the more I noticed these weird scratches on these trees. Normally, I would think that this would be deer rubbing antlers on trees, but this was different. There were only three marks, as if something with talons were scratching the trees. The marks looked deep. Just when we were about to turn back, Brian started pointing at something. I looked at what Brian was pointing at, and to my surprise, there was a huge cave that led into the hillside. "Hey, good find, Brian," I told him. But Brian seemed upset. Instead of wanting to investigate, Brian wanted nothing to do with the cave. Brian started to get agitated, and I had to calm him down. I started to feel that dreadful feeling coming from the cave. At this point, Brian and I decided to head back. But right before we left, I could have sworn I saw something inside the cave move. I couldn't exactly be sure, but it looked like a set of red eyes looking at me. Instead of sprinting off into the woods, leaving Brian behind, I decided to play a game with him, and I told him, "Hey Brian, first one back to the trailer wins." We both ran back to the trailer in record time. Thankfully, I don't think Brian knew what I saw. While we were running, however, I would glance back every now and then, just to make sure that we weren't being followed. There were a couple of times where I thought I saw something, but I couldn't be sure. I definitely did not want to stop to get a better look. When we finally made it back to the trailer, I made sure that Brian and I stayed inside. I told my parents what I saw, but I don't think they believed me. But then again, I was also pretty unsure of it myself. And obviously, Brian couldn't back me up on this. This is where things began to escalate. That night, I remember waking up to Brian having one of his episodes waking up everyone. He was pointing out the window in absolute terror. There was something outside that was terrifying Brian. We didn't have any external lights on the trailer in order to look around. My parents figured it was just Brian sleepwalking. Typically, when Brian sleepwalks, we can get him back to bed quite easily. But Brian didn't seem to want to calm down. We covered the blinds and made sure Brian was calmed. That took some time, but obviously we got him to bed. We woke up the next morning to an interesting sight. Just outside the trailer were these weird footprints that circled around the trailer. It looked as if someone was crawling around all night. Initially, my parents thought it was Brian that was somehow able to escape the trailer last night. But after a quick review of Brian's feet, that obviously couldn't have been the case. The prints were very strange, and they looked almost human. It almost looked like someone was crawling around on their hands and feet, except the hands and feet were exceptionally large. The suspicion quickly went from Brian to perhaps a crazy person that happened to know where we lived. If that was the case, it would be quite a comical prank, if this was left at that, but it wasn't. My parents seemed to be uneasy about this. They didn't like the idea that someone was circling our trailer, and I don't blame them. Whenever I looked out into the woods, I'd always get this bad feeling, and I think my parents felt it also. Instead of wanting to go out and play in the woods, Brian and I just stayed inside for that day. We felt safer inside. That night, I remember waking up to a strange sound. My first thought was that it was Brian sleepwalking around the trailer, but after further review, Brian was fast asleep, and the sounds were coming from outside. It sounded as if something was being scraped on the outside of our trailer. Of course, it was the part of the trailer that didn't have any windows. Not thinking much of it, I decided to open the door and go outside. But right before I opened the door, my father grabbed me. "Don't open that door," he said in a very stern voice. My father was clutching a shotgun, and he looked terrified. "I got a glimpse of it," he said. My father's eyes were wide, and he looked serious. "I don't know what it is, but it's not human." I was about to speak, then my father cut me off. "Well, I thought I heard something outside, and I thought it was Brian. But after seeing Brian on the couch, I decided to go and investigate. I was able to peer through the windows and get a glimpse of it. The thing was very pale, and it walked on all fours. I didn't get a look at its face, but just by looking at its limbs, I could tell it wasn't human."
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
The creature that my father was describing matched the description of the creature that I saw inside the cave. A sense of dread had just washed over me. I think that whatever it was had followed me from the cave to my trailer. I don't remember falling asleep that night, but I do remember waking up and looking outside. On all the trees near the trailer were these three scratch marks that looked similar to the ones that were near the cave. There were also some scratch marks on our trailer. This thing had very sharp claws. After seeing all of this, as well as seeing the creature, my father took very little convincing into moving the trailer. He moved it to the other side of the property that was much farther away from the tree line. And from this new location, we experienced no activity from the creature. My theory was that it liked to live in the woods in order to hunt and to be concealed from the daylight. That would explain the pale skin. While we were on the other side of the property, my family was able to build a house over time. This took about 5 years, but it was well worth the wait. The new house that we had built allowed each person to have their own room. This was able to give me a normal sleep schedule, and I barely ever heard Brian sleepwalk. The more years that went by for Brian, his sleepwalking got worse. If anyone ever left the door unlocked, we would find Brian some decent way away from the home on the property. I remember the morning, waking up finding my mother pacing around the kitchen frantically. My dad and Brian were nowhere to be seen. I was able to put two and two together and figure out what had happened. Brian had sleepwalked the night before and someone left the door unlocked. My dad was out searching for him. Typically, we found Brian pretty quickly in the morning, but today, we couldn't find him. I went outside to help assist my dad finding Brian. It didn't take me very long to find him out on the property. Remember, we had a lot of acres, so searching for Brian could take some time. I helped search the majority of the property with my father. After searching for some hours, we finally reached the part of the property that we had been with the trailer that many years ago. My father and I searched quickly. We didn't want to stay there very long. That's when we heard it. We could hear the bells on Brian's anklet ringing. Brian must have been close. The ringing was coming from deep inside the woods. My father and I had to place our fear aside in order to find Brian. We slowly crept inside the woods, looking for Brian, following the sounds. My father and I could hear the bells off into the distance. We followed the sounds, ignoring the dangers that were nearby. I began to feel that dreadful feeling again. As we were walking in the woods, my father and I came across a terrible sight. There was blood all over the ground. There was no body of any animals nearby. Naturally, my father and I thought the worst, but we didn't say anything to each other. "Something very terrible has happened here," my father said. We could still hear the bells ringing off into the distance. There was still hope that Brian was still okay. We continued to follow the bells until it led us to its final destination. The bells had led us to the cave. The cave was bigger than I remembered. It looked much bigger and much darker than before. I was about to walk into the cave before my father grabbed me by the shoulder. "Hey, we don't know what's in there," my father said grimly. I shook my father's hand off my shoulder. "Of course we know what's in there. That's Brian. That's his bells," I told him. My father and I began to argue at the mouth of the cave. While we were arguing, the bells had stopped ringing. My father and I then peered into the cave, expecting anything to emerge. We heard the bells slowly get closer. Instead of being excited, I felt this extreme dread, as if the impending doom was coming out of this cave. We then heard screeching. My father and I immediately bolted out of the area. The screeching continued. We continued running until we were out of the woods. Whatever it was that was following us did not leave the woods. We went back to the house silently. It was as if both my father and I knew the actual outcome of Brian. We got back to the house and my father called the police. I talked to my mother, telling her that the trail of Brian went cold. She was pretty devastated. The police came about 2 hours later and my father led them to the area in which we thought Brian was. He had led them to the mouth of the cave. The officers entered the cave with their weapons drawn and flashlights. They were in the cave for about 5 minutes before they quickly returned. They told us that the cave was littered with animal bones. They said that this was very common for a bear cave. One of the officers reached into his pocket and pulled out an object. The object rang like Brian's bells, except they were covered in blood and were tattered up. The officer asked, "Does this mean anything to you guys?" My father solemnly nodded his head.